Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How many of you love Jesus? Amen. Amen. God is so good, guys. And my message this morning is wise men still worship. Wise men still worship. Let's start by going to John 4, verse 22. We'll start there. If you were in the first service, we had a wonderful time. The presence of God came so strong in the service. It was really great. And I'm trusting the Lord will have a powerful second service too. The worship has been so good. Amen. Praise God. Such a sweet presence. And Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he says this. He says, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is for the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." What I really want to focus on there is we have now entered a season. The church has been in a season where God is restoring His worshipers to Him. He's restoring those who will seek after Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's interesting is it says there that the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He is seeking true worshipers, those that will make, that will have a desire to worship Him with everything inside of them. Spirit and truth represents coming before God with your spirit, with everything inside of you, and coming truthfully before Him, just laying everything down, not hiding, not pretending, just being absolutely real with Him. I want to talk a little bit about this morning, and I want to kind of start by going to a very familiar story in the Bible, and I'm going to read through the story to a certain point, and I'm going to make a few points, and we'll just carry on from there. I know this is going to bless you. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse number 1. Matthew 2, verse number 1. It's never the same, guys. Amen. Just trust God and let's see what happens. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And we're going to stop there, and we'll pick up there in just a minute. We want to talk about a few things. The first thing I want you to take note of is in the story, we see these wise men that make a decision to go up to Jerusalem, and they want to go. The Bible says that in verse number 2, it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The first thing that we need to understand is that this is a season where we worship the King. Can you say amen? It's Christmas, and we're running around doing all kinds of things, buying presents and all this stuff, and putting up Christmas trees, and it's not bad. But how many of you know the reason for the season is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen. And in this story, we see a group of men that were not just ordinary men, and if you study it, these were very wealthy. Men, they may have been like sort of almost like kings. They were in very high positions, and they had heard the prophecies. They heard about the Messiah being born, and they were going to go and worship Him. They'd made a decision that they were going to do whatever it took to go and worship Him. But I want you to take note that if you go just a few verses down, you'll see that it says that the chief priests, it speaks of the chief priests and the scribes, that they had known about these prophecies. They knew about what was about to take place, but they had made a decision, even with this knowledge, not to go and worship. not to go and seek the Lord. Now, so many of us during this time, during this season, you know, we're so busy with everything that we miss the point of the story of what this is all about. And it's all about the Lord. It's all about worshiping Him and giving thanks to Him for what He's done for us. And we see two different groups. We see these wise men who had been drawn to the Lord. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And they made a decision that they were going to go and worship. And then we see the religious system that knew the truth, that had the word, that had the prophecies, like so many today, still choose not to go and worship, still choose not to give their hearts, give their lives to God, and rather just have the knowledge of the word, have the head knowledge, but not make a decision to actually give of their lives, to really make a decision to serve God. And what I love about the story is you'll see it says there that there was a star in the sky, the star that led these wise men to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but in my life, there have been certain people that have been like that star, that have led me to a place where I went from just knowing about God, but really coming to a place where I'd made a decision to worship Him. And in your life, there will be people that will be like that star. They will shine with the love and the light of God, and they will lead you to a place of real surrender to the Lord, because you will see in their lives, you will see a true light. You will see the true love, the true heart of God in their lives, like a burning flame, like a star that leads you to worship. Isn't that powerful? You know, the Bible speaks of ministering angels. It's so powerful. Let me read it to you. In Hebrews 1:7, it says, "And the angels," he says, "and of the angels," he says, "who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Now, speaking of angels, but how many of you here are ministers? If you're a minister, you need to be a flame of fire. You need to carry the presence and the power of God in your life. You need to burn with His passion and His love and His zeal so that you can be someone who's like that North Star that draws people to the Lord and really causes them to change. You see, a knowledge of the word or knowledge of the truth is not enough. You have to get to a place where your heart begins to change, where your heart begins to humble, where your heart gets to a place where you say, "I'm going to choose to worship the King no matter what it costs me." I want to show you as we go into the rest of the story how powerful it really is. Because we're going to see from these wise men a lesson of what a true worshiper really looks like. And this is not rocket science this morning, but these basic principles will get us to a place where we are back in relationship with God, serving Him and worshiping Him and having fellowship and communion with Him. How many of you want to be in that place going into 2019? I don't know about you, but I said to my wife during the break, I said, "Darling, sweetheart," I said to her, "that's how we're going to go into 2019. We're going to go into 2019 with our hands lifted up, with our hearts humbled before Him, with everything inside of us to give our best to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He is everything in our lives. Amen." So verse number 6. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people of Israel." Then Herod, in verse number 7, then Herod, when he had secretly, then he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great, exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Now, I want to stop right there, because just in that little passage there, it's loaded with God. Remember, God is seeking those who will worship Him. He is seeking people who will truly worship. What type of worshipers? Worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? Now, I want to go, before we carry on, I want to quickly go to Acts 15:15-17. Now watch. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. You need to understand, we need to understand that it's God's heart who is seeking after those who will worship Him. Rebuilding the tabernacle of David speaks of rebuilding a tabernacle of worship. David's tabernacle had 24 hours worship. People that went before the Lord, they played instruments, they worshiped, they prayed, they seek God's face. And God is saying that He is going to rebuild this tabernacle. We've already begun to see it. But let me tell you that the word of the Lord for 2019 is already very loud and clear in the Spirit. And that word is a word that is calling His church back to holiness. Forget about all the junk out there. It's time for us to seek after Him with everything inside of us. Holiness is not a curse word. Holiness is not a bad word. God is seeking those who will worship Him, and that's the key, is that the key to walking in holiness is to stay in a place of worship with God. If you can get yourself into a posture where your focus is not your weaknesses or your sins, but rather your focus is on worshiping Him, you see, the presence of God has this ability to show you and reveal to you what's in your heart. It has the ability to reveal all the junk that's in you. And while you're worshiping, you just sort of remember the things that you struggled with, but suddenly they become a little bit less obvious. Suddenly it becomes a little less difficult to deal with. And suddenly your focus shifts from your problems and your sins to the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's take a look. Two different groups. One group who's religious, who chooses not to go and worship. They know the truth. They've got the prophecies, but they choose to rather just have the knowledge. And the other group, the Bible calls them wise men. Wise men that make a decision to go. When you humble yourself, when you go to God and you say, Lord, I want to worship You, something happens. The first key that we take from them in verse number 11, and when they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down. Falling down represents a humbling of themselves. The first thing the wise men did when they came into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is they fell down on the ground. These are not just any kind of people. These people are kings. These people are rulers. They walk in and they're standing in the presence of the King of Kings. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have. It doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, a doctor, if you're a commissioner, if you're a mayor. It doesn't matter if you're the president. When you walk into the presence of the King of Kings, you have to humble yourself. You have to go down on your knees. You have to fall on your face. The first key to turning away from all the junk in your life is to get yourself into a posture of humbling yourself. Can you say amen? James 4:6 says this, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Listen, if you need a breakthrough, if you need transformation, if you need a miracle, He will lift you up. But it starts by you first humbling yourself. You see, worship is against your own will, because the world system has created us to worship ourselves. My rights, my ways. Well, you can't do that. That's my right. No. When you worship, you are saying, not my will, Lord. but your will. Not my ways, Lord, but your ways. What your word says, that's what the truth is. That's my book. That's my rules. That's how I live my life. I humble myself. I fall down on my knees. I put down all pride and all the junk of this world, and I make a decision to serve you, to submit to you. That's true humbling. These wise men, the first thing they did when they walked into the presence of the king is they fell down and they humbled themselves. The next thing we see is that they worshiped. They fell down and they worshiped. Daniel 10:12 says this. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Because Daniel got himself to a place where he humbled himself. He'd read the prophets. He'd read the word of God. He believed everything that was in the word, and he made a decision to humble himself. He made a decision to go on a fast. He made a decision to reach out to God. He would spend time in the presence of God, worshiping God. And when you begin to do that, God responds by answering your prayers and moves heaven for you, because you're worshiping him. When you're worshiping him, the will of God begins to operate in your life. The will of God begins to take over your life. Not my will, God, but your will be done. Amen. The worship came from their hearts. Nobody forced them to be there. Nobody said to these wise men that you need to come out, you need to do this. The journey was not an easy one. They did it because they wanted to. Can you say amen? So the first key is to humble ourselves. The second key is to get into a posture of true worship. But what you need to realize is that when you begin to worship God, when you truly begin to worship him, it's going to cost you something. If you look at the wise men, it says, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. True worship and true serving will cost you something. It will cost you your life. It will cost you your time. Don't think that it's not going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It cost them these gifts that they brought. It may cost you something else, but it's going to cost you maybe getting up a little earlier, maybe giving up a lunch break, maybe giving up an appointment to spend time or watching a movie. It's going to cost you something to get into the presence of the King and truly begin to worship. It's a decision that you have to make. Just the very start, where it comes to humbling ourselves, causes a shift to take place in our lives. In that moment, things change. And then when you decide to start to worship, when you truly decide to worship, you will realize in that place, when that presence comes, that there is nothing more valuable, there's nothing worth holding on to, because the presence has been paid for with blood. You have access to the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. It's been paid in full. You have access, but we have access and we don't even go there. Well, Pastor Alex, I don't have to do anything. You're right. You don't have to do anything. But what do you want to do? What do you choose to do? Do you choose the presence of God? Do you choose during this Christmas season to worship the King of Kings? What is your choice? What do you choose? You see, the wise men chose to go to Jerusalem. It took them a long time to get there. Some people say it might have been a year. Because when they got to Jesus, he was no longer in a manger, in a stable. He was in a house. Go read your Bible. When they got to Jesus, it says he was a child. He was no longer a baby. So the possibility is that he may have been a lot older. In other words, they may have been traveling a long time. It cost them something. It's going to cost you something to get the breakthrough. It's going to cost you something to really get the breakthrough in your life, in your marriage, in whatever it is that you need. But I can tell you now, you'll find the answer. You'll find the peace. You'll find the solution. You'll have the breakthrough in the presence of the King. In the presence of the King. Then verse number 12. Well, let's read verse number 11. Let's read verse number 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. You see, when you get back to that place where you go back to worshiping the King, when you get back to that place where you've made a decision, it's cost you time, it's cost you something, and you've made a decision to turn and to go towards Him and seek Him and worship Him. Immediately, when you do that, He begins to speak to you. He begins to give you visions. He begins to give you dreams. He begins to remind you of who you are in Him. He begins to show you things to come. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's your counselor. He's your friend. When you start to worship, when you turn away from all that stuff in your life and you turn towards Him and you begin to worship and you begin to serve Him, immediately He begins to speak to you once again. Watch this now. Let me show you how powerful this is. And this is my last verse. We're going to close early today. John 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. He hears him. In other words, some of us have gotten to a place in our walk with Him, perhaps, where it feels like God doesn't hear you anymore. Where it feels like there's no response from Him anymore. It's gone quiet in the heavenlies towards you. You must understand that repentance is so important and it's so good, but true repentance will turn your heart towards Him and will cause you to go into a posture of worship. And when you worship again, you must remember you've moved past the sin when you start worshiping, because you've forgotten about what was, and now you've moved into a position of, God, I surrender my life to You. I surrender my heart to You. I surrender everything to You. And you begin worshiping. And when you worship, the Bible says that He will hear your prayers again. And believe me, the visions and the dreams and the voice of the Lord will return to you. But it starts with you making a decision to worship the King. Wise men still worship God. Amen. Amen. Wise men still worship the King. If you feel like it's just gotten to that place where you just can't get the breakthrough anymore, you need to move past, God, I'm sorry. Yes, you must apologize, repent. But get yourself into a posture of worshiping Him. And then He will begin to speak to you again. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? Father, we thank You so much this morning that we know that Your word is truth, Lord. Your word is so alive in us. Father, that You would call these wise men to be led by a light, a shining star, to worship the King of Kings. The religious people knew this to be true, but chose not to worship, chose not to surrender. Father, I pray that we would not be like this, that we would not know the truth, but keep our hearts hard. Instead, Father, that we would be like these wise men, that will do whatever it takes and whatever the cost is and bring our treasures before the King of Kings and lay them down and humble ourselves before the King this morning, Father. Lord, I don't want to go into 2019 not worshiping you. I want to go into 2019 worshiping you with all of my heart, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves this morning. We recognize that we are nothing without you, that we need you in everything we do, Father. From the moment my eyes open in the morning, Lord, remind me of your goodness and your mercy and your love. Father, at night when we go to bed, Lord, I pray that we will go to bed singing praises to the King of Kings, singing worship to God Almighty, who has provided for us, who takes care of us. Father, we are so thankful to you. We want to be wise men that continue and still worship you all the days of our lives. Wise men, Father, wise men. If you've come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, or if you're watching online and you say, Pastor Alex, my life has not been right. I've not been able to hear from God for such a long time. I need to make my life right with him. I need to commit my heart to him. If that's you this morning, all I want you to do where you're sitting in your seat or watching online, you can just slip your hand up real quick so I can pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else say, Pastor, God bless you, sir. Anybody else say, Pastor, please include me in this prayer. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you in the back. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Your life is going to change, sir. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. God bless you.
Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you just engaging with us throughout the years. We want to wish you a very Merry Christmas from Oceans Unite, a very Happy New Year. May God bless you richly this coming 2019. You guys have been amazing, and we cannot do this stuff without you. We hope you've been blessed all year round. Thanks again, you guys. Until again, we'll see you next time.